Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. I am so glad that you're here. We were off last week, and I will tell you why. Because it actually go into the subject of the podcast today, but had a great week. This is that was the week after the 4th, so about the 7th through the 9th, the 10th. And I spent several days with a group of teenagers, so I was too worn out to do a podcast. No, that's not true. It was just everything wasn't together, and I wanted to bring this, and I wanted to actually bring the subject I'm talking to you about today, but I wanted to bring it in a very powerful, informative way, and I just wasn't ready for that. And so glad to be back with you today, and I think the subject matter today will help generationally. And that wonderful world, the song says, I see babies cry, watch them grow. I learn much more than we'll ever know. And that's what we're going to talk about today with about Generation Z. And I'll explain who that is for you in just a second for you, those of you who do not know, and talk about how that generation is having an effect on this world and how we can have an effect on that generation. Hey, if you enjoy the work we're doing here with the podcast and our leadership, I would love for you to be a part of what we're doing. And you can go to patreon.com/life180. We just posted the first content for subscribers. And we'll actually be putting up some free content coming up this week. And I just want you, man, I want you to get in on that and see everything that is there. So patreon.com/life180. You can support our work for as little as $10 a month and up to about $50 a month. And I'd love for you just to be jumping in on that, because this month is where the content's going to come from. And you're going to see, those who are subscribers are going to see a large amount of information that we'll be working on over the next couple weeks. And so I'm excited about it and believe it's going to be a big help. So having spent 3 or 4 days with some young people, so the reason I was spent some time with some young people, they were going to a camp, to a church camp that we go to annually. It was canceled because of COVID. And so we decided instead to do a retreat locally. Thankfully, we live right near the ocean and could go book some rooms near the ocean, spend some time at the beach and playing volleyball. And I don't know if we actually ever played volleyball. We played football. We had a volleyball with us. Went, you know, ate at parks and just did all kinds of stuff. And then we went to some springs in Florida and tubed down the springs along with 1,000 of our other friends. Thankfully, we were able to keep a little bit of distance from one another. But we had a lot of fun. And I love impacting that generation. So I shared with them while we were away the verse that is the catalyst for my life. It says, also when I'm old and gray-headed, God, do not forsake me until I've shown your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. And that is really my heart, is to show the generation that I'm in and the generations coming behind me the hand of the Lord and the strong arm of the Lord, and then what he can do so they can pass it on. Because that is the way the cycle continues. And so today when we're talking about generations, I know that listening to me are people in a variety of generations. Probably most of the people listening to me are in a generation preceding me, which would be boomers and elders. And we're going to give names, and we'll talk about names in just a second. And then my generation, Generation X, and then the Y, which is called millennials. Now, I know it's older people call everybody younger than us millennials, but that's technically not correct, okay? Millennials are varying age somewhere from the early 80s to the mid 90s. And so those are what we call the Generation Y, the millennials. And then the ones from around 95, 96, 97, all this changes, by the way, as you look at things, up until about 2013 are called Generation Z. So you have the elders, which are older than the boomer generation, born in the 50s, 60s. So the elders are before that. And then you have the boomers, which we're really familiar with, the baby boomer generation. And then Generation X, which is born early 60s to late 70s. And then you get into the others of Y and Z. So Gen Z is what we're going to talk about today. And the reason I'm talking about this generation is because they are a pivotal generation to our future. They can vary in age right now from about 23 years old to 8 years old. And so if you have an 8-year-old to a 23-year-old, they would be technically in Generation Z. But I understand even after a 15-year span, there's a lot of variety. I have a I have four children that are 23, 21, 19, and 17. So they all kind of fit in this, although my 23-year-old is right on the border of millennials and Generation Z. And so when we talk about these generations, the reason we're talking about it is because we need to get to know who people are, what makes people think, what makes them tick, and in order to be an influence. And so you will hear from my voice, I am passionate about this. I believe that this is the difference that we have to make, and we have to make an impact on this generation, the Gen Z generation. And so I am committed to it. My life is focused on it. Tomorrow evening, as I'm speaking this, is on a Saturday. Tomorrow evening, I will sit with probably anywhere from, and we've had anywhere from 10 to 20 of this generation around the table, opening the Bibles, talking about life, letting the Word of God speak, but also letting them speak and hearing their testimony and hearing their word. And one of the things we did on our retreat is I asked them, tell me a time, because I talked about history. I said, your history is really important, so you have to know your history. So tell me a time in your life where you saw the arm of the Lord, the real strength of God in your life. And it was awesome to listen to young people tell me about, oh, I remember this, and God really worked here in my family, and I knew it was God. And then I remember having lunch one day with a young man who was in this generation. He said, Pastor David, I hear you talk about this, but I've never experienced it myself. That's what I want is to experience it myself. And I love that. And so as we talk about Gen Z today, I want you, if you're not in that generation, I want you to go, okay, I want to get this information so I can understand them and understand to impact them. And if you are in that generation, I want you to hear my heart for you. And I'll tell you some things today that are really strong parts of who you are, but also some things that, man, you know, you need to see a work in. And so I'm going to share most of this. This comes from Sean McDowell, and his website is seanmcdowell.org. But he gives some important, what he calls nine important insights about Generation Z. And as I looked over those, I thought, this is exactly where I want to go with this today and where I want to help. So jump in with me in this today and let it be impactful. And I'm going to read the article, the start of it. He says, move over millennials. A new generation is here. For the past decade, there's been considerable discussion about how to understand and reach millennials. Now, let me say this to the older generation for just a second. If you are the elders and the boomers and the Generation X, and so you're anywhere from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s in there, there is automatically an instinct to think of generations that come behind you as less than you. So what we do is, because we don't like necessarily the way they respond to things and the way they do things, we give them names and brands. And one of the names the millennials have, and that we really pass down to all the generations after that, are things like snowflake. Understand, if you go on social media and you call them snowflakes, they have stopped listening to you at that moment. Even if the very next sentence that you say is helpful and insightful, they have cut you off. And you've got to get that, man. If you don't understand that, let me use offensive language. Now, they have names too, and I talked to them about this. So they call a woman who may be in her 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and she's pitching a fit. They call that woman a Karen. Now, if you're named Karen, I'm sorry. I don't know where. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, okay? But that's what they call it. They call it a Karen. And I tell them the same thing. I know that's a funny name. Now, they also have a statement that anybody older than them, when you say something weird or dumb, they say, okay, boomer. And you've probably heard your kids say that. And if you've heard them say that, they were not complimenting you, okay? But they're saying, you don't understand our generation. Now, every generation struggles with the generation before them and after them. Just get that off the top, okay? But we've got to start seeing that we've got to reach beyond that. And we've got to love people past that. So there's a generation now that roughly those born between 1995 and, once again, it varies, 2010, or it could be as much as 2013, according to the research, even 2015. Generation Z, Gen Z. So they've been called a lot of different names. They're called the selfie generation. Yeah, okay. You probably don't get this. They use this app called Snapchat where you send a picture. And so if you ever see a kid take a quick picture of themselves and start typing something, or just take a picture of anything random and start typing. That's the way Snapchat works. Yeah, it's weird. There is a chat mode, but they don't use that. They just take a random picture. So who knows how many selfies they've taken over their lifetime. They're called iGen because of the iProducts, iPad, iPhone. Postmillennials, which sounds more like a cereal. Doesn't postmillennial sound like a cereal, or is that just me? The app generation, the trans generation, that's a whole discussion, and more. But regardless of the title, here's 9 insights that Sean McDowell shares from his personal experience and research. Okay, so I'm going to give you these real quickly and dive through them. Some of them we'll spend a little more time on. Some of them you just kind of get. Okay, the first one is they are digital natives. Digital natives. Says while millennials grew up in a technologically savvy, let me say that word again, technologically savvy and connected world, younger members of Generation Z cannot remember a world without the internet. That's mind-blowing for me. You know, I remember my computer class that I had in the late 80s, like 88, 89 in college. High school. And, yeah, internet, what's internet? I remember when they started a computer lab in the college and it was attached to the library and nobody needed, why do you need a computer lab? We have a typewriter to do our papers. Yeah, just crazy thinking, right? But they've never known it without the internet. They grew up swiping an iPad. By the way, they don't know the joy of hearing a dial-up signal, most of them. They don't even know what that is. Some of them do, the older ones. They grew up swiping an iPad before they learned how to talk. Have you ever watched these kids in stores? They're 1, 2, 3 years old, and they have this iPad or they have this iPhone or some other device. And, man, they know how to control it. And we always say if you don't know how to fix it, give it to a little kid. They'll fix it for you. They'll know where to go with it. They're the first generation to be raised in the era of smartphones. I asked my oldest daughter the other day. She's 23. I said, do you remember? And she said, I think I remember one of y'all's first phones. So she was probably about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. I think we had a phone before that. But this was the first one that she remembered that we would call very much a cell phone of these days. And she remembers that. Teenage members of Gen Z are connected nearly every waking hour of the day. And I can say this, they're even connected while they're sleeping. They're connected to devices they wear on their wrist that are telling them how they're sleeping and how much they're sleeping and all of that kind of stuff. But they're also even connected because they have apps that make noise for them, the white noise that people like when they sleep. So they are literally connected 24 hours a day. Now, there is good and bad in that. We all get that. But we're not necessarily discussing all of the good and bad. It's just as much understand as digital natives, this is very normal for them. As a matter of fact, when we went to, had to go to online services, we had a little bit of an online presence, but not much at all as a church. And so what are we going to do? We got to get this stuff out there to people. It was an 18-year-old and 2 19-year-olds that came and did everything. And they're not scared of digital. They're not scared of all that kind of stuff. And one of them is actually majoring in this kind of stuff in college. Just incredible. So they're digital natives. Number two, they're entrepreneurial. Gen Zers have been raised with business such as Uber and Airbnb. And things like Lyft. And you can see how easy and simple it is to use your own time and resources to make money. As a matter of fact, in a survey, 72% of older members of Gen Z, which is around 23 to 20, want to start their own business one day. 72%. So just working in the town and going to the factory, those days are over. Now I want to start my own business. I want to start everything from a donut shop to I was reading the story the other day about a guy that started a laundry business, and just incredible. And they're using the technology that they have and the skills that they have in that to start businesses that are able to connect people and to make things work. So they're very entrepreneurial. Number three, they're very diverse. Very diverse. This is the last generation that will be majority white. 52% of the generation right now is white. But this will be the last generation that will be majority white. Between 2000 and 2010, the country's Hispanic population grew at 4 times the rate of the total population. As a matter of fact, your populations right now, in order, are white, Hispanic, and Black, in far as the top three. And then, of course, you have others coming underneath that. But white, Hispanic, and Black. So the Hispanic population has grown tremendously. And so that's going to have an effect on culture. That's going to have an effect. Now, I know some people are like, oh, that's before you go, other cultures always change. And you got to understand this Generation Z is not afraid of the change of culture. It's part of who they are. And they're going to see it that way. The idea of a Black president is not exceptional to them. Why? It's normal for 8 years of their life. 8 years of their life. So if they're 23 years old at the oldest, and if they're 10 at the youngest, they spent years. That's all they've ever known is a majority of the time they've lived, a Black president. So that's normal. Gen Zers have grown up experiencing diversity. They feel overwhelmingly positive about it. And so that's why a lot of the stuff that we've had that has gone on over the last few months, it hasn't affected the younger generation. And the younger generation is like, I don't understand why the older generation is pushing back against some of this, because they have been in a very diverse culture. Their school is diverse, work is diverse, everything is very diverse. So things have changed. And especially for somebody like me, in growing up in the South, they're living in a different world than I grew up in. Now, one of the negatives that I would say is number four, and that is less religious identification. Now, we're going to talk about not just religion, because I've talked about that before. We're not talking about just a religious, but listen to this. In 1966, 6.6% of incoming freshmen reported being unaffiliated with any religion. So when they surveyed college freshmen in 1966, 6.6% of them said they were unaffiliated with any religion. In 2015, it was 29.6. So almost five times as many people of incoming college students reported not identifying with any particular religion. Now, the question is whether young people today are truly moving away from religion or just defining themselves differently than previous generations. I realize we have, sometimes when you say religion, well, we're not a part of a denomination. So denominationalism, it used to be how we very much identified. I'm either Catholic, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, fill in the blank, Lutheran. You know, we identified ourselves by our religion, and young people don't do that. But we do know that there is also a lack of religious belief and foundational spiritual belief as well. And so that's real conversations that we need to have with this generation and be able to show them by example what they can have, what they do have. The author of this article, he said, I tend toward the latter explanation, which was they're just defining themselves differently. Although there's probably some truth in the first. So I think there's probably truth in both. I don't know that it's necessarily one or the other. I think it may be a mixture of both, that they're moving away from, some are moving away from religion because of how, quote unquote, religion is portrayed. But I think also you have them identifying themselves differently. Oh, we don't put a label on that stuff, because labels are something that they are constantly trying to break away from. So that is a, both of those come in there. So we need, so this is where my heart is, obviously. As a pastor, as somebody who loves this generation and wants to make a difference in this generation, I look at the Gen Zs and I see just think about it. We've talked about how definition of marriage has changed for them, the diversity in so many different areas, how their world is much wider and bigger because of technology, so they're having more influences. And so that is more of an impact for me to say, okay, let me get back to just a core influence of Scripture and let them see Jesus in the Scriptures and let them see who He is in their life, and it will have that impact instead of just accepting, okay, if they go to a Baptist church, Catholic church, Methodist church, they're automatically going to adopt those beliefs. It's just not going to happen anymore. It has to become more personal. Number five, he describes them as blurry. So let me explain this. Formerly distinct lines are now considered blurry. Technology has blurred the lines between home and work, study and entertainment, public and private. So think about that for a second. What used to be, when you were home, nothing else, work. But now you're bringing work into home. And of course, we see that right now during the pandemic. so many people working from home, and that's become normal. And so now they're seeing that even with school, all those my children homeschooled for the majority of their schooling. It varied from child to child, but you know, that's those lines are being blurred. Study and entertainment. You know, at the same time I'm studying, I've got, now I know we had TV and stuff, but I mean, they got stuff in their ears. They got stuff on their phone. They got, there's so many distractions. What's public? What's private? I mean, now everybody has a phone, right? You can make a video in any private situation and make it public. That changes. Gen Zers have a different experience of family. With this generation, you have some that are coming out of same-sex households. Working moms, stay-at-home dads, three-parent families, couples choosing not to have kids. There's a lot of different. So the nuclear family, it says by 2026, the nuclear family, which when we define nuclear family, and I could have a whole discussion on this. I just did with my family a little bit last night. The nuclear family being mom, dad, kids, okay? Just mom, dad, kids, home. That nuclear family will make up less than a third of all families by 2026. So less than a third of families will be what we describe as the nuclear family. Now, other generations back, by the way, the boomers and even the elders, their generation, really the boomers was the first that had that just this solid nuclear family. And by that, there's an interesting article, and you can look it up by David Brooks. David Brooks, he has a, just type in David Brooks nuclear family, and he has an article where he's supporting the extended family idea, because used to people had a farm and everybody lived around the farm, and you know, grandma was accessible and grandpa was accessible and uncle and aunt and everybody connected, and now we've divided that even more. And so the nuclear family has changed things. And of course, for them, when we talk about blurry for the Gen Zs, gender and romantic ideas have become blurry as well. And that's something that definitely is going to end up affecting family. And so when you think you're clearly defining things just by saying a word, that may not always be clear. Think about it for just a second. When you say marriage in your generation, if you're an older person, and you're my age and 48 and older or somewhere in there, and you say marriage, you automatically have a definition. But when you say marriage to a Gen Z, they've been taught different definitions by society. So you got to think about those things when you're having discussions. Number six, I'll move quickly. Overwhelmed. The article says, in her interviews with teens for her article in Time magazine, Susanna Schraubsdorf says that there was a pervasive sense that being a teenager today is a draining full-time job that includes doing schoolwork, managing a social media identity, and fretting about career, climate change, sexism, racism, you name it. So a lot of stuff that I don't think we necessarily always saw or addressed. And I know as I say some of those, some of you are like, well, that's not even a real thing. I get that, but it's still something in their culture and in their world that there is being discussed and being talked about, and so that they're thinking about. It says 68% feel overwhelmed by everything they need to do each week. Now, I was just telling this to my wife last night. They're talking about stress and anxiety. We all have stress and anxiety. And I think sometimes by saying, because you have stress and anxiety, something's wrong with you. That's the problem. No, stress and anxieties, there's going to be normal stresses, normal anxieties. We have to learn how to deal with those. And so the best thing we can do is not say get over it, but no, teach how to get through it. And that will be helpful. So overwhelm. Number seven is lonely. 3 million adolescents, 12 to 17, have had a major depressive episode in the past year. There's been an increase in anxiety and depression among high school students since 2012. And this upsurge cuts across virtually all demographics, suburban, urban, rural, doesn't matter. Lonely. Once again, probably one of the drawbacks of technology is that you can, quote unquote, be to yourself. And virtual is not, there's a thing called virtual reality, but virtual is not reality. And we need to know that. They need relationship. And so we have to build relationship with young people and teach them how to build relationship. And if you're a young person listening to this and you're in this generation, the amount of friends and the amount of followers is not sufficient for relationship. When I say friends and followers, obviously I'm talking about social media, and you get that. You need real, tangible relationships with people where you can sit down and have honest heart-to-heart. Now, that group is probably going to be fairly small and probably should be fairly small, but you need those people in your life. Not people just tell you what you want to hear, people that will love you and help you, but also not people that are going to beat you up every time you talk. You need to find those good, quality people. Number eight was progressive. Most Gen Zers plan to get married, have children, and buy a home, although probably later than previous generations. And I referred to this in one my last podcast when we talked about babies and marriage. The people are getting married later in life, so therefore less babies are being born. And so they plan on getting married. They just don't plan on doing it right away. Now, that's not true of all. Some are going to get married young. But as a generation, that's the idea. As far as being progressive, they're less likely to drink, smoke, and take drugs. Yet, they hold more progressive views on issues like the legality of marijuana and the morality of same-sex marriage. So, I don't necessarily like the word progressive. I understand what it means, because progressive sounds like progress, and sometimes what we call progressive isn't progress. It's actually going backwards. So, I'm not really careful of the word, but I understand what they're saying. Progressive has become a more political worldview word. And so, although they're less likely to drink, smoke, take drugs than generations, and I know some of you are going, that's not true, that's crazy, there's all these kids. Does anybody remember the 70s? The 60s and 70s? You know, come on. You know, we always kind of think the generation ahead of us, or behind us, I'm sorry, is they're just terrible. You know, just reflect for a minute on the generation you were in, okay? The number nine, individualistic. Ann Fisher captures the forces that have helped create an individualistic emphasis among this generation. Listen to this quote. Gen Z is used to having everything personalized just for them, from playlists to news feeds to products, features of all kinds. They've grown up expecting that. I want my playlist. I want my news the way I want it. I don't want to have to sit down and listen to something I don't listen to. You know, if it's a 2 or 3 minute, they're done. As a matter of fact, there's an app called TikTok, and I'm not a TikTok guy. I've never really been on TikTok, but I think the videos are very, very short. You know, because if it's not a minute or two or 5 minutes, you know, and that's an individualism thing. And so I want a playlist. I don't want to just listen to, you know, if somebody puts out a album now, you know, I may only like two of the songs on it. So I'm only going to take two of the songs off that album, put it on my iPhone or whatever device I put it on. And then I'm going to add this from another one, this from another one. So I have my own playlist. So individualism is huge. And so they expect that. Now, there's a tendency, ending the article, to be either overly romantic or critical about new generations. The reality is that members of Generation Z face the same life challenges as previous generations. They've got issues. They've got problems. But listen to this. Every generation. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Jesus said that. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties. But he said to every generation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I am not bound by the philosophy of the world, Jesus says. I'm not bound even by the actions of the world. I've overcome all of that, and that's what the cross and the resurrection are all about. And then he's given us life and life abundant and life eternal. He says, I want to give you life so you can live, but I don't want just to live and exist. I want you to live abundantly. And so Gen Z, you don't have to just live. You can live abundantly. You can live in knowing that there is victory and hope. Be of good cheer. Man, cheer up. He's overcome the world. And I know some days it feels like they chew you up and spit you out. But he's already done everything that you need. So live abundantly. And don't let the cares and the philosophies weigh you down. It says, it goes on to say, in a super connected and rapid moving technological age, they face things that are different. But let's not forget this. And this is the end of the article, and I'll wrap up with this. Hey, let's not forget that they have the same deep needs. They have needs of love. They have needs of love. I told a story to our young people last week about a young man who was about 14, 15 years old. Then one day in a conversation, he had expressed, this has been years ago, but he expressed that he didn't really know why he was here and maybe we should take his life. I had a one-on-one conversation with this young man, and I told him I loved him. When I told him I loved him, it was like a truck ran over him, man. He sat up, and he looked at me, and he goes, "What'd you just say?" And I said, "I love you." Tears came to this 14-15. He said, "You're the first person to ever tell me that in all my life." We got up from that. I was a coach at the time. We got up from that. He walked into the gymnasium and said, "Y'all know what Coach just told me? Coach just told me he loves me." This blew this kid's mind. They have the needs for love. They have the needs for significance. What am I here for? I mean, I say this all the time, but I believe the reason that Rick Warren, his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, was such a huge bestseller was not because of the title, Purpose-Driven Life. It was a subtitle. Whoever put that, if it was Rick Warren or whoever, kudos to them. The subtitle was, "What on Earth Am I Here For?" And I believe that's why that book sold millions. People are looking for significance, looking for meaning. They're also looking for belonging. Where do I fit in? Who loves me? Who cares about me? Who wants me in their life? We're seeing damaged young people because of broken homes. You got kids that are growing up back and forth with parents or with grandparents. Mom doesn't necessarily want them. Dad doesn't necessarily want them. And so that belonging's difficult. If you're Gen Z, I want to be a part of your life. I want to connect to you, and I want to help you, and I want to love you, and I want to show you that. But you got some people around you, you know, that want to do the same things. And I know that's hard sometimes looking for it. But if you're in the generations ahead of them, man, go find them. You belong here. That's powerful. Every generation's needed that. Every generation. And so it's important that we get this. Hey, I love talking about this subject, and I believe that it's, you know, it's a world-changing subject, and we could make a huge difference. So I just want to challenge you today. Hey, go find somebody that is in this generation and make a difference to them, and you will be amazed. Hey, don't forget patreon.com/life180. And I look forward to putting some more things up there this week. I already got some things in the works. And if you want to become a patron, I'd love for you to be a part. There will be different levels and love for you to connect. But thanks for the work that you're able to do with me here. And I just can't wait to see what happened. I know our world is like crazy still, and we don't know what one day to the next. And I know everywhere we got to wear a mask now. And if I could say anything in closing on this, if we're going to lead people, we've got to lead people by influence. So how you respond, if you don't want to wear a mask and you don't like wearing a mask, or if you think everybody should wear a mask, just do whatever you do in love. Do whatever you do in concern for each other and in the thoughts and feelings of one another. Let's change the world by that. Every generation needs people that will make a difference, and you be a part of that generation. Hey, God bless. Love you. Glad we could do this together, and I look forward to seeing you again. Listen to the sounds as we go out, which was done by a Gen Z. God bless. Have a wonderful world.